Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddham dhammam sanghaṃ namassami. Today on the new moon day, it's coincided nicely with the Saturday talk. So, here we are. We're halfway through the rains retreat, and I'm beginning to really feel that. Things are slowing down, coming to a stillness. And it's kind of, obviously there's, it's always little things happening, in terms of running the monastery. You have the water issue of not having water, not having rain. This breaks, that break. But generally, I think, finding that a few people gone on the retreat and come back. So a sense of, just another day at the monastery, moving on with our practice, and just being with whatever's happening. Some people may call it kind of boring, but I don't know if you look closely enough. There's always things happening. Certainly in our own mind, the different emotions that we go through the day, different challenges that comes up in the practice, and I think I kind of tonight nothing particular came up. I guess I've been just busy with getting things moving from moment to moment. Not really many topics have cropped up during the day though. Sort of thing, just kind of being with things. And this kind of, I think one thing that did came up during the sitting was maybe just to talk about how to cultivate happiness in the holy life. Different ways that we can brighten up the mind during the day, along the path. And one of it is just, kind of cultivating like a state of mind to look at things from a perspective of always learning from my experience, always learning from situation, and not afraid to make mistakes or move on. And don't see anything as a personal fault that you made a mistake. It's your personal kind of judgment on yourself. Negative judgment that you've done something wrong, if you're unhappy or something's gone wrong. No. It's just what happens when you live in the world. It's what happens when you have a body. You get sick from time to time. It aches. Sometimes quite a bit. The mind sometimes really happy. Sometimes it's grumpy and it complains about everything. That's what's happening. And just this ability just to hold it, to have a trust in the Dhamma. Trust in our goodness that we've developed in all the previous lifetime, all the previous years, all the sitting and walking. And yes, we have what it takes to be with things. We have what it takes to learn from experience and to grow from it. And look at things as a challenge. Always be willing to learn and to look at our kind of, we're here to train. It means that we're here to to, you know, to improve ourselves, to do things more skillfully, to let go of unwholesome states of mind, and to cultivate more wholesome state of mind. We're not saying we're perfect yet. So always looking, you know, always, you know, like the sutta with the Rahula. Before we say something, reflect. Is this for the welfare and benefit of myself and others? Or is it going to be for the harm of myself and others? Always reflect before we do something. Reflect at the end of the day. You know, where was my mind during the day? Was I inclining towards wholesome states of mind, or did I lose my mindfulness? And did things, say things, or thought about things that I shouldn't have? You realize that we've done something that's unwholesome, just remind ourselves and then move on. You made a determination, focus the mind, that tomorrow be more restrained, tomorrow be more careful with my body, speech, and mind, what I think so. So it's this kind of honesty of just looking and improving. Obviously, we're not fully enlightened. So those things that we can do, but also that, you know, to say that is, but also come from a place of, you know, of trust, come from a place of well wishing, not always fall finding, oh, what I do wrong today, I did that wrong, I did this wrong, it's a long list of what things you went wrong, and how you're a terrible person because you shouldn't have done what you did or didn't do what you should have done. No, the practice is not to get into more self recrimination, but the practice is always to build on your foundation of goodness already. So if your mind is a mind that inclines towards fault-finding, self-doubt, then before you start on this reflection, maybe, you know, think of the things that you've done right first. And then you can build on things that you can improve upon. But also, you know, this kind of, in the holy life, it's always, remember, it's a marathon. You know, we're in it for the long haul. Hopefully for a long, long time. So there's always room for improvement. It's always another day to do better. And, you know, we don't have to do everything to get, you know, today, everything, get it right all the time. So this ability just to, you know, to be with things, allow things to unfold, allow things to happen in their own time. And just kind of enjoy the ride. You know, you're in the monastery. You're a monk or nun, anagarika, long-term guest, in the right place, moving in the right direction. The momentum of the Dhamma is already carrying you. So you don't have to strive and struggle and try too hard. Just, you know, follow the rules, keep the precept, train in the mind. Doing your sitting, your meditation, walking, being quiet, being peaceful. And allow these beautiful Dhammas to unfold at their own time, in their own leisure. And this sense of trust and confidence in your own goodness. Yeah, and I was just thinking, yes, you know. And then the rains retreat. And it's really great just to be here. Now, with these things change by this stage, to this day, this is my state. I can do this for a long, long, long time. You don't have to do anywhere, have to go anywhere. Nothing ever happens. More wonderful. I don't have to meet another great teacher. Have to get another good meditation. It's still good enough. More than good enough. It's great. Just to be here, being a monk, practicing within a good community, being, you know, a source of inspiration, source of guidance for the lay community that comes. and just feeling, yeah, you know, a lot of gratitude for all the people that's helped us to be where we're at. Reflecting on, you know, the hard work of all the people that came before, did all the building for us. And then just feeling, yeah, you know, things are coming together. And yeah, this is a good, you know, this is as good as things get. It takes 100 lifetimes to polish away my greed, hatred, delusion. Yeah, it's great. Still good enough. I can wait. There's no rush. And just this ability just to be and see what comes up. I think as a layperson, I'm a hyperactive doer anyway. So hopefully in the last 10 years, learning to allow some of that proactiveness, as we call it, to fade away. And just to enjoy the ride. I don't have to drive the process, although it looks like I'm driving the process, but I am certainly learning to ride, be with the process, and ride the wave. And don't have to kind of, you know, always driving things and pushing things. And yeah, I find actually, yeah, ironical enough, when you let go, things happen, comes together on their own accord. And it always seems nicer than pushing, pulling, tugging, and shaping things. And it turns out to usually not to come out the way you want to anyway. But when you let go, relax, things have a way of coming together in a very beautiful way, in a very unexpected, but you know, a nice, wonderful way. But I guess sometimes that there's so much part of our personality is in the doing, the thinking, and the making. So sometimes it's understandable, you can see why people, it's hard for people to stop and let go. That even though as monks or monastics, we always have a little pet little projects that we have to be doing. And whilst it's understandable, you can see that it could be a cause for, you know, future suffering. And the only thing that can come to mind was, I guess this week is, I find most weeks, there's a lot of being a monk, you get a lot of talking to different people. And yeah, they tell you there are issues, there are problems that they're coming up with. And I think the theme for this week is just usual stuff, I think, from last week. It's just the body. Suffering of the body. And, you know, Rob was telling me about his dad, who's obviously going through a dementia, and how much of it is, you know, for the family just to cope with that and look after him. And they're going to finally decide to put him to an homes. And that brings up a certain anxiety that, you know, am I just, you know, taking the easy way out, just, you know, throwing dad in there so I get out of my hair so I can move on with my life. And so that those issues of, you know, old age, sickness and death comes up. And personally, my father's also pretty sick with some stroke. So some blood clotting or something. They don't know what's happening. So he's fading away very quickly. And that's a strange thing with this old age. You're going to be in the peak of your health. But, you know, if you're after, you know, you're older than 70, nothing is for certain. Lots of healthy people go to the monastery, offer dana. The next week, we're going to their funeral. So there's not a certain thing. It's not a sure thing. And just reflect that, you know, it's this thing, this old age, is something each and every one of us have to deal with. And that's where maybe it's where some urgency, balance, you know, kind of allowing things to unfold, but also kind of reflect that, you know, the sufferings of old age will come upon us eventually. So it's good to, you know, train the mind now. Yeah, I don't know how people, you know, who haven't learned to meditate, don't know how to see the body as impersonal, not sense of self, cope, which is 99.9% of the population. When you get sick, it's just probably very, very confusing. You're probably running for the medicine cabinet, taking drugs, which confuses your mindfulness even more. And then just, you know, watching the body break up, but not knowing much sense of things. Yeah, it could be terribly, terribly confusing for most people. But I think for most of the people here, having, you know, come into contact with the Dhamma, the Buddhist wonderful teaching about, you know, old age and decay, impermanence, and knowing that the body is not ours, something that we will lose control over it. Sometimes sooner, other times later. But also learning to how to, you know, to focus the mind. So, you know, the more we learn to train ourselves, then the more we can benefit when these things come. When the pain of the body comes, you know, have good meditation, you can, you know, let the body go and still experience, you know, a sense of deep peace and happiness, regardless of the body's doing. The meditation is not strong, you can also use, you know, the teaching of the Buddha. Yes, this is pain. So what happens when you have a body? So what happens when the old age comes? But by accepting the pain, it changes, right? It's not so painful anymore. By accepting the suffering of life, we hopefully learn to transcend it. And that's the beauty, and that's the power of the Dhamma. By accepting, by embracing, by being with things, we rise above it. We're not our body. We're not the mind. We're much more than that. So it does, you know, kind of, there's always this kind of a two-way to look at things. So that's why sometimes it is the incentive to, you know, to focus, to be a bit more careful when each time we sit and meditate. Just another sitting, another 2 hours I have to kind of whittle away, fantasize, wish it's over with, get a call from my body. But, you know, it's just a time to really focus on my breath, focus on the body, to set up mindfulness and not waste our time when we are at the monastery and we are sitting meditation. Because sometimes as monastics we have days and days and days, like, oh my God, not another group sitting. Now the 2 hours. I should go to another monastery where they don't have so many group sittings. Where I can do other things. I can put away my at the library and read all these books. No, but it's just like I said, you know. Hopefully when you sit down long enough, you know, hopefully the mind starts to let go and things will start to happen. Regardless of what you're doing. In spite of yourself and your views of what you can't and can't do. The mind has its own compass. And you just have to set the conditions up. And that's, I don't know, it's just kind of reflecting on that. Yeah, it's just, you know, the fact that we have the great good fortune to come into the Buddhist teaching and to try to realize that in our life in different ways. And you know, you don't appreciate until you talk to people who aren't Buddhists and who get very confused when they become sick and when their bodies fall apart. You know, you have so much gratitude to the Buddha, to the teachers that, you know, that taught you any Dhamma. And the best way to express that gratitude, to pay back, is, you know, like the Buddha said, to realize the supreme Dhamma that he did. The best way to pay back all your teachers, the enlightened one, is to walk the path. Each and every day, each and every moment, whatever ways you can. And then, you know, we walk far enough, hopefully share some of that knowledge to others. So that they can walk their own paths. But also having, you know, been doing some reading of the Majjhima Nikaya, the sutras of Buddha teach, and it just brings up so much happiness. It's like, wow, I've got great karma to come to the, you know, what the Buddha, to be introduced what the Buddha actually said. So much of the stuff out there isn't, you know, maybe nice, but it's not what the Buddha said. And what he taught 2,500 years ago, it still applies. It's amazingly powerful, and that's what truth is. That's what you can expect, obviously. Something that's truth shines beautifully, brightly. You know, no matter how far back it is, no matter whether it's Indian, different culture, still applies so much to this day and age. And then you listen to other teachings that are, you know, come after the Buddha, and some of that stuff is just wacky. And there's a zillion little lineages. I'm not saying, you know, I know I've heard people say, yes, every monastery I stroll to, they say, we're the true way, and the other guys are a bit lost. Yes, you get some of that, of course. But I just can't help but feel that, you know, there's some great calm in the past to come up with the forest tradition who relies on the Buddha's teaching and who have enlightened masters as a guide. Because you can see a lot of the stuff that is said later, that's not what the Buddha said. Arhats cannot come back because you want to. That's ridiculous, come on. This is, you know, it's a non-impersonal process. A sense of no self. And you have all these strange teachings that, you know. And I just encourage people, you know, whatever, yeah, of course they're a good teacher and they're very charismatic, but they always check what the Buddha said. Check the suttas. And no matter what your beliefs or what your views are, the different tradition is, the Nikaya, the Sutta, what was written down in the Theravada tradition is pretty much agreed upon. There's no secret teaching. The Buddha didn't say, okay, you know, I teach you this. Before he died, he teaches something completely different. That's not how it happened. And then the more you practice, the more you see that what the Buddha's teaching was 100% true, not otherwise. And you compare what the enlightened ones, the meditation masters teach, they say the same thing. There's no path that you skip the seal a bit. You go straight to the wisdom. Yes, yes, you know, we all like to hear you can have a family, have sex, spend lots of money, and still be enlightened. Of course it's nice. Fortunately, you guys, it doesn't work that way. And the more you practice, you can see that that's not how things work. Our defilements are craving myself. Yes, 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 we can do this. And you can, you know, be enlightened. Just have to say the Buddha's name enough time to come and rescue you. Do whatever you want. And you become enlightened. It's like, yes, if it's nice, but, you know, it doesn't happen. It takes hard work. You want to enlighten, you want to purify your mind, it's hard work, and it's moment by moment. But once you get your head around it, I think it's incredibly, you know, inspiring. Because we have control over our destiny. We are the center of our universe, in a sense. We can make good karma. We can train our mind. We don't have to depend on a higher power. We make the difference because we choose to. On a certain perspective, we can make choices that leads towards more wholesome states of mind. We can let go of our cravings and attachments over time. As long as we have the intention, remember it's all the intention. Yeah. This reminds me of a talk by Ajahn Jayasaro a few weeks back. He says even, you know, we have this capacity to reflect and to know our action was that wholesome or unwholesome. Even criminals who do that, you might say, oh, they just think, you know, they're doing good. No, they know. When they're stealing, they're doing something unwholesome, without lying, they're doing something wholesome. But there's something in the mind that says, you know what, so what, I'm going to do it anyway. And each of us have that capacity to know, to understand our actions and the result. And it's that capacity that allows us to train the mind. But it's something that we have to reiterate, something we have to search within us, sometimes with something we have to kind of reinforce on a daily basis. Because sometimes we're like, you know what, I don't feel like it. And you do what we want to do. I don't feel like keeping that rule. don't feel like doing that. And we make a decision to forget it. But we know it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the right thing. And then we can improve the next day. And this capacity to reflect, to learn from our experience, and to train the mind is an awe-inspiring capacity that we don't have to, you know. Yes, we rely on the Buddha for the teaching, but, you know, but we can only, you know, it's our own karma. We, each one of us, have to walk our own path. And what Ajahn Tan said was very sweet. He said, you know, even the Buddha cannot enlighten you. All I can do is show you the way, and you have to enlighten yourself. He says, if it were possible, Ajahn Tan says, for me to do the work, I would have done it already. That way you all can become enlightened and not have to do anything. But unfortunately, that's not how karma works. You know, I can only tell you about it, and you have to do your own meditation. You have to do your own work. And let go, you know, make kusala karma. And let go of akusala karma. And do it day by day, day in, day out. But it puts that, but that's great. Because it puts the responsibility on us. It's very empowering to know that we have a say in our own spiritual journey to a certain point. That we can make a difference in our training. And it is a long marathon, lots of sweats, lots of pain from time to time. But remember, every time we suffer, it is to the strength of our craving and attachment. So always look for the cause of suffering, which is the attachment to a sense of self, view. Then we can learn to let that go. So I'm certainly not promising it'll be a smooth and easy path. You know, for most of us, it'll be long, arduous, full of sweat, blood. But it also, you know, the closer you get to the goal, an increasing sense of happiness and well-being. And it's, you know, to the levels of, you know, you wouldn't imagine when you start out how much happiness and well-being you can feel in the mind. And that's something that's in store for each and every one of us. But it's, you know, it's a long journey that starts with, you know, one step at a time. Starts with just being with things the way they are. Being with accepting, embracing, and learning from our mistakes. But also reflecting with gratitude and appreciation for all the teachings that we've received from the Buddha and our past teachers. Also dedicating the merits, any goodness that we made to our fellow wayfarers, people who ever supported us. So it's on this Saturday night, on the new moon, Apostata Day night. I just want to offer some words of encouragement to continue your journey towards peace and liberation, and just to know that it's a wonderful journey that we're on, and I wish very much peace and happiness along the way. Okay, off with that for tonight. Sadhu.